Great, thank you very much. Well, how many of you actually believe the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord and he does delight in your way? That's the truth of it. And God is for us. God is on our side. And that changes everything. Changes my perspective on life, on circumstances, on things that crop up. And it's an exciting journey to be on with Jesus. If your life is not exciting, have a word with Jesus and think he can fix it. You're not so sure, some of you. Because it's a life of faith. And steps of faith can be scary or otherwise translated as exciting. Yeah? So let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Well, if you've been with us the last few months, you'll know we've been chatting and talking about the blessing of God in our lives and what a wonderful thing that's been for the last almost five months we've been doing it. And we started right at the very beginning of the year, if you remember, if you were with us, with First Chronicles and the prayer of Jabez. And in 1 Chronicles 4, to remind you, it says these words. It says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain." You see, the name Jabez equated to the Hebrew word for pain. So it's not a great name to be given at birth, but that was Jabez's lot in life, as it were. And it says this, that Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. And we looked at very quickly, you see him on screen there, three things that we pulled out of that prayer. First, "Oh Lord, that you would bless me." That sense of, God, would you grant your favor to be on me in my life and in my journey from here on? How many of you enjoy having the favor of God on your life? Right. Yeah? And then he says, "And Lord, would you enlarge our territory?" I equate that to influence. It could be physical, a plot of land, I suppose, territory, but a sense of influence. If your territory is increasing, your influence is increasing on the surrounding area, yeah? So that sense of influence. And Lord, he prays, "Would you enlarge my influence?" And then he says, "Let your hand be with me." That sense of anointing, the anointing of God, the Spirit of God. How many of us know that to do all that God has called us to do and wants us to do and commissioned us and mandated us as individuals and as a church, that we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit on our lives to fulfill that to the very aspirations of God, if you like, for us. And we said finally that a big key we sensed for all of that was that Jabez was an honorable man. In fact, it starts by saying that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. You know, that sense of honor and integrity in our lives is so key to seeing these things fulfilled as we call out to God for them. So we started there right at the very beginning of the year, and we've been tracking through all sorts of elements of the blessing of God. And Hugh was chatting just a couple of 3 weeks ago about us being salt and light into the community, into the world around us, and being that influence for God and for his kingdom. And I want to, this morning, after the back of 4 or 5 months of talking about the blessing of God, sort of challenge us a little bit today, because we can sit and listen to sermons month after month after month, and some of us have done it, for year after year after year. And is it making a difference in my life? And I want to put a little bit of a challenge at a personal level this morning for us. And I'm going to call it the blessing challenge. The blessing challenge. That this will be a year of living out the blessing of God. Living out. And I'll explain that over the next few minutes. On Thursday night, Hugh's already alluded to it, we were looking back over the last year and reflecting on God's goodness to us as a church. We had various bits of reports and things on screen. There's printed information that we've got some here today you can take away. And if you were with us on Thursday evening, I hope you would agree that we've been blessed by God over the last year. As a church, we've sensed and known the blessing of God in an incredible way, and we're deeply grateful to the Lord for that. You know, I'll give you one or two examples in a moment. And But from that position of being blessed by God, we've had an incredible opportunity, in fact, probably a little bit of responsibility of what you do with the blessing of God when it comes your way. And so we've been able to bless others because we've been blessed. Sense of finance, giving out, and we'll talk about that in a moment, social action, some of the things that we do, supporting and serving others across the body of Christ, whether it's churches, organizations, or individuals. Jesus was speaking to his disciples one day, and he said this. He commissioned them this way. He said, Matthew 10, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. That's a great mandate from God. Because then he said, because freely you have received, freely give. Now, there's a supernatural element to this, but I think there's a very practical element to our lives. Freely we've received, let us freely give. And we started with the year with that prayer of Jabez, you know, praying for favor, influence, anointing, committing to the Lord that we would live honorably. We prayed right at the very first Sunday at the end of that service along those lines, committing ourselves to God again for this year. That was in January. In February, Joe was speaking to us, and his subject was blessed to be a blessing. You know, I had people come to me saying, that was great, that was fantastic, and did a really good job. Let me share one or two of the things that he talked about. He reflected on the words of a song that sometimes we sing here. And it's the song, You're a Good, Good Father. That's who you are. And we all went, amen. I trust you're still saying amen today, a few months on from February. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. I'm loved by you, Father. What an incredible privilege to know that God loves us with this amazing love. You know, the greatest blessing that you and I can receive is the love of the Father. Because it's the love of the Father that brought the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. You know, what did the writer Paul put to the church at Romans, in Romans 6, he says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Is that the biggest blessing available to us or not? Life transformed, not only for now, but for eternity. And if there's anybody here today who's never received that gift of life, eternal life through Christ Jesus, then today is an opportunity for you to remedy that by coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to receive of that blessing from you, that gift of eternal life. And we'd love to pray with you. And, you know, if you want to talk that through, have a chat with us right at the end of our time together. God, this is another comment that Joe made. He said, God is delighted to bless us. You know, we had a number of our children and our one grandchild with us yesterday. And it's great to be able to bless them. We took them out for lunch, and it was great to be able to bless them. You know, we love to do those things. If we've got the wherewithal and the capacity and the resources, we love to do that sort of thing where we can. And Joe mentioned the scripture that Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. And he says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment, which is great. God provides things for our enjoyment. It's wonderful. But then he says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. The blessing of God comes with a measure of responsibility in our lives. Yes. In this way, if you do that, he says, you will lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, and as a firm foundation for the coming age. Joe did make this comment. He talked about, you know, aspirations to be wealthy so that we can bless people. And he says, to be honest, that's probably not going to happen for most of us. We're not going to, oodles and oodles of money to be able to do that. You know, maybe one or two, maybe three or four have a capacity, because of God's blessing, maybe through business or whatever it might be, that you have a capacity to bless, you know, practically and through finance, maybe support ministries and missionaries, etc., etc., to a greater degree. But actually, there's a challenge and a responsibility for each one of us. What do we? What has God put in our hands? What has God called us to do? On one occasion, Jesus was watching as people were putting money into the offering. Now, I don't know what you'd feel about if we sort of walked around and watched everybody put in and checked out how much you're putting in. But Jesus was doing that one day with his disciples, and it's recorded in Mark chapter 12. Jesus called his disciples over. He said, look at this. Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put into the treasury more than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. You know, it's not about actually the physical elements of what we've got, but it's actually what we've got, what we do with it. How large or small. That's the thing. You know, when Jesus spoke about the parable of the bags of gold in Matthew 25, he referred to wicked servants with those who didn't use wisely the things that they'd been given. But then he says this, well done, good and faithful servant, to those who use them wisely. He said, you have been faithful in handling a small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. It's there in Matthew 25. And if you and I want to experience more and sense more of the favor of God on our lives, then let's steward well what we've already got in our hands. Yes. Let's steward well what we've already got in our hands. So what has God put into your hands? What has he put into my hands? It is true that God blesses us even though we don't deserve it. We don't earn it. But he graces us with gifts, abilities, opportunities, resources to be a blessing to others. Yeah. On Thursday night, we were, as we said, looking back over the last year and giving thanks to God for the privilege of doing what he's been able to do through us. And if you remember, last year, 2015, the text that we used right from the beginning of the year was Acts chapter 10, where Cornelius is being addressed by an angel. And the angel says to him, your prayer has been heard and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Your prayer has been heard and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. And I really think that as a church, we've seen something of the blessing of God over the last year. People, you know, increasing numbers of people connecting to us, people coming to faith, income of the church has gone up, increased influence, difficult one to quantify, but you just sense there's an increase of influence. And God's blessing, as God has blessed us, comes with that increased responsibility of what we do with what God has put in our hands. And as a church corporately, I hope we've done fairly well. I hope we've done fairly well. Got a good track record. We've been supporting other churches and ministries and continue to partner with various churches, particularly Immingham Christian Centre. We provide ministry in other churches around the area. Quite a few people go out from us, speaking, musicians go out from us, etc. We've helped out on Alpha Days and Alpha courses in other settings. And last Sunday, you know, at church in the park, I had a great time. I loved it. The weather was great. It was fantastic. And but one of the comments I got is, I think one of the times when the band was playing, I was chatting with people in the gathered crowd, as it were, and a church leader came up to me and he said, David, can I just say something to you? I said, yeah. He said, thank you. I said, what do you mean? He said, thank you to City Church for putting this on. He said, it has so blessed us as a church to be able to be here today, and you've been consistent, you've been doing this for 3 years. And that is a privilege to be able to do that, and to bless the church at large, not just do it for ourselves. We serve churches together, Northeast Lincolnshire, we serve churches together in the region of all Lincolnshire, and we've been able to support other charities with the time of our staff and our volunteers. You know, I was sharing on Thursday evening, and some of you may not be fully aware of this, but through City Church, a number of churches are supported on very practical levels. So, you know, all the finance that comes into City Church, I mean, we had a turnover of around £385,000 last year. Jackie handles all that. That's quite a lot of money. Not only does she do that on our behalf, she looks after the finance of Immingham Christian Centre. She looks after all the finance of the United Reformed Church in Grimsby, all the finance of Churches Together, North East Lincolnshire, and handles the finance of a lot of our ministry connections here in the UK. And that's a blessing to be able to do that and release time for Jackie to be able to do that as part of our blessing, the wider body of Christ. See, what God has blessed us with, we want to bless others. Amen. We want to bless others. And it was a privilege last year to be able to recount the other night that of our overall income last year, 2015, except the nursery, which is a separate, totally separate budget item in that sense, 23.2% of all our income went either to mission or social action. It went out from us, giving out from us, serving our community. Previous year it was 19.6%. So that's a blessing to be able to do that. And we can do that because the blessing of God has come our way. And I think where that happens, it's a wonderful thing. You know, through different ministries that we have, we think about CAP, Christians Against Poverty, that Ellen heads up. We've been able to bless and help people, circumstances transformed, people coming out of debt, people coming to Christ. The last 12 years, our SOS program has done some amazing things, headed up by Dave Robinson. Where's Dave? Dave, come on out here a minute. Come on out here. Let me read something that Dave wrote, and you'll read this in the report. SOS, Special Outreach Support, began in 2004 and has been responding to the needs of people in crisis. It's been involved with those who've fallen through the net of provision and by those who need some additional Christian-centred help, in addition to that found in normal channels. The aim and the ethos of SOS is to be a Christ-centred project, not merely a form of social work. In the 12 years, we've seen some striking answers to prayer, and it has been good to see people beginning to live again. Lives transformed, circumstances changed. And he puts, similar to the dry bones of Ezekiel 37, becoming joined up, receiving flesh and life. And some of the things that SOS has been involved in over the last few years: taking a stand against injustice, networking people for professional help, speaking up for those who need an advocate, speaking up for people in court, preventing eviction, standing shoulder to shoulder with people until they are safely housed, and then helping them to settle. Being a co-worker with social services as they work to support and rehome a child in need. Being a 24/7 contact point for cases of crisis. I could go on. You can read them all later. There's a whole list of stuff. And I just want to honour Dave today, because David is retiring. In fact, he's already retired earlier on this month, wasn't it?
2 weeks.
2 weeks ago. And this is the first opportunity, because of Church in the Park, etc., to honour him today and to thank him for the last 12 years of working from City Church on our behalf and pioneering this and overseeing this for the last 12 years. One or two sort of getting alongside him, helping him in various situations. But when I think about, you know, blessing people, somebody who blesses people, who gives, this guy comes to mind. And I'm glad to say he's my friend. My friend. And Dave, I just wanted to honour you today for those 12 years. Now, we had a conversation a little while ago and said, okay, you're retiring, you're stepping down from the payroll of the church in that sense. And we're going to give him a 2-month window. Okay? But actually, he wants to be available. Perhaps not to the same level, but still be available. I can't ever see Dave not being available, to be honest, to help people and to stand alongside people. So Dave, we want to honour you today. We want to thank you for all that. And we want you and Edith to go and have an absolutely whacking great big swanky meal at the Kingsway Hotel. Is that okay?
Oh, wow. I don't deserve this.
Right? Bless you. You do.
Okay. Without Edith's help, I could never have done it.
That's right.
Yeah.
They probably didn't hear that. Say it again.
Without Edith's help, I could never have done it.
Yeah. Bless you. Okay. Sunday. So you think Dave and people like him modelled that living out the blessing of God. Living out the blessing of God. And as a church, we have significant opportunities to do that through different works and organisations, whether it's CARE, Hope for Justice, Street Angels, etc. God has blessed us, and hopefully we have endeavoured not just to be grateful receivers of God's blessing, but conduits for his blessing to others in the world and the community around us. So it's been a privilege for me and Amory to serve alongside so many people involved in that sort of stuff. But today, I want to challenge us, each one of us, not just that sense of corporate as a church, but each one of us, to consider living out the blessing of God. A couple of questions. What have you got in your hand? You know, you don't have to have tons and tons of stuff. But what have you got in your hand? It could be your time that you have available. It could be resources. It could be a bit finance. It could be your ability to write, encourage people, or speak and encourage people. It could be acts of kindness to bless someone. Back in February, you may remember that our kids' church picked up on this. And they sent the kids out with the parents' permission to go and do some blessing of people, some acts of kindness. And I asked Joy, can you get some feedback from that? And she did, and I've been storing it up for such a time as this. So I've got one or two stories that I think were sent on text message or Facebook, probably, on a private messaging thing. So I'll try and interpret them. I'll anonymise them, but you might guess who they are. But so I've got one or two stories from some of the families who got involved with wanting to be a blessing. Okay, so first family. We added stuff to those books you gave us and sent them to a family in Newark. Mum and daughter read the Bible. The postage was £13 and we added sweets and toys. So that's one of the things. We did volunteer, same family, we did volunteer at a nursing home, but it got cancelled due to DNV. Them, not us. If you're not sure what DNV is, diarrhea and vomiting. So presumably the nursing home was on lockdown. One of our daughters sorted her old clothes out, and Ellen from CAP was able to donate them to a family in need that very same week. Another of our children sent gifts to my niece and her sister. They don't know each other, as it's my brother's daughter, and we'd lost contact. We will be doing something for a dog charity and a homeless charity in the days to come. Just a motive, just wanting to bless. And they've got that whole thing going in the family. Another family wrote this. Our neighbour hasn't been very well over the last couple of years, and she's quite a grouchy lady. Not very nice to the children. She tells them off and shouts at them if they're playing. So when we talked about who we should give an act of kindness to, I thought of her. And our son said to his friend that he was going to give the lady a bunch of flowers, a huge bunch, and just to say that we'd been praying for her as well. It was great when we gave her the flowers. She was so touched. God's timing is impeccable, because 2 days before, she had buried her dog and was very upset. Another of our son's friends has been playing football in the academy for 3 years and just been told that they didn't want him anymore. And he's absolutely devastated. So our son is going to take him out for a McDonald's to cheer him up. Our daughter is giving some flowers to the lollipop lady because she is always so chatty and nice to everyone. She wants it to be a huge bunch, just like her brother had done for the neighbour. So our kids have expensive tastes. Our kids team joined in as well, not just the kids. And one of them wrote this. Today was a tip run, going to the, what's called it, don't, recycling centre now, don't we? It's not called the tip. We were going to the tip, and so we dropped these off for the staff at the tip. Just show the picture. The next slide, hopefully. You got it, Sarah? Just click the next slide. There you go. So I'm not sure whether you can see this, but there's donuts and Mars bars for the staff at the tip. And it says on the label that they printed out, have a fantastic day from someone who's part of City Church Kids. If you want to know more, come to church service at Lyle Marston, Sunday mornings, 10:30. And they just wanted to bless the guys at the tip. Final story from another family. The boys have given an old lady who lives down our street some flowers. My friend who has cancer, they gave her some flowers and some sweets for her son. A boy in our son's class has been poorly for the last few weeks, and so we bought some sweets to give him. We thought we knew where he lived, but couldn't remember the house number. We had just given up and were going to go home when we saw him and his mum walking down the street, so he got his gifts after all. Great stories from our kids' church who want him to be a blessing to the people around them. Jesus said an interesting thing, didn't he? He said in Matthew 18, called a little child to him, placed him in the middle of a group, and he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And the challenge I want to put to all of us is to think about what God has blessed us with and how could we bless others. And maybe, dare I ask you to consider, could I bless 2 people a week for the rest of the year? Ooh. And that could be to do with time, it could be to do with just some energy that you have that perhaps the other person has, and it could be to invite them to be our guest or an Alpha event. It could be a financial blessing. I'm not going to put a cap on the possibilities of what God may prompt you to do. But I call it a challenge because practically, it's not always easy and it's not always readily received. Have you ever tried to give somebody something and they don't want to receive it? I've got a great example. Well, I hope you think it's great. It's going to be on screen in a moment. So who's heard of Martin Lazell, the worship leader and songwriter? All 3 of you, right? Okay. Wrote a song. Some of you will recognize this. Lost in wonder, lost in love, lost in praise forevermore because of Jesus' unfailing love. Remember that song? Yeah, okay. Written by Martin Lazell. His wife tells the story of Martin trying to bless somebody. Let's play that video clip, Sarah. Thanks.
That some people are very suspicious of things that are free. My husband Martin, one time when he came home from work, we were just chatting about our faith and whether it was impacting sort of our local community and those directly around us, our neighbours and things like that. And anyway, he'd gone and volunteered to do the weekly shop at Sainsbury's. So I said to him, well, when you go to Sainsbury's, why don't you offer to pay for somebody's shopping? So he said, okay. And then I said, you know, when you go in, pray to say, God, okay, whose shopping shall I pray for? Shall I pay for? And then I said, basically, don't come home until you've done it. It's a bit bossy, but that's what we get sometimes. And, you know, it's the good and the bad. And anyway, so he went off with his bag for life, a bit nervous, and he went into the shop. So he was working his way to the shopping list and lingering a little bit long as he was coming towards the end. And he was a little bit unsure about it, so he was lingering over the deal on frozen peas or something. Then the night shift started arriving and stacking the shelves. He realised it's time to crack on, otherwise he's going to... Obviously, I told him he couldn't come home and he's done it. And so anyway, he then approaches the cashier and the checkout and trying not to look in anyone's trolley as to see how much they've got. He's then thinking, well, I don't want to pick somebody who's, got someone basically... He has a bit of an angry resting face. So I want to pick someone who's got like a friendly face. So then he sees this lady, but oh, she's got a kind face. And he says, actually, I don't want to pick anyone who's got some huge husband or big girly boyfriend. So he goes up to her, this lady, and he says, I'd really like to pay for your shopping. And initially, she's a little bit freaked out, fair enough. And then she agrees, and she says, okay, then, out of the light bulb aisle comes her big girly boyfriend. So then he comes up to Martin, and Martin's then, he was quite big, so Martin's then addressing him, saying, well, the guy saying, well, what's going on here? And so I just wondered if I could pay for your shopping. The bloke said, why do you want to do that? And to be honest, Martin hadn't thought it through, so he didn't know what to say. I think he just said something about being generous. I don't know. Anyway, the guy just went, no, I can't let you do that. Sainsbury's is going to give us our shopping for free, that's one thing, but I can't let you do that. And they sort of went through. Now, the cashier is listening to this, and she is sort of involved now. And Martin says to her, when the couple have gone, what would you do? Would you let me pay for your shopping? And she said, if we were in America, yes, but not in England. Anyway, then this other guy comes along. He actually doesn't have very much. He's only got three things. I think it's like a DVD, a Mars Bar, like 2,000 something. It's not a lot. A little bit of a relief. that's not part of the story. But and then he says that Martin says to the cashier, what do you think? Shall I ask him? She's involved now. She's like, yeah, go on, ask him. So Martin says, you know, I'd really like to pay for your shopping. Would you let me pay for your shopping? This bloke is like looking around to see, are there any cameras? What's the setup here? And then the cashier says to him, go on, he really wants to. So he agrees, and then he starts putting his things through on the belt, and then the man goes and collects his little few things up, and he's looking at Martin a few times to say, any cash? And I says, no, there's no cash. Take your stuff, you're free to go. And so he makes his way off. And then the cashier says to Martin, you are the nicest person I have ever met. And it only came to about £13. And then this guy walks back, and he comes up to Martin, and he says, I don't know why you did that today, but I've had the worst day of my life, one of the worst days of my life, and you've totally restored my faith in humanity. And it's like, wow, all that for 13 quid, that's a bargain.
Brilliant. Okay, perhaps the musicians will come back. I'll wrap this up. You see, it may be a challenge. It may not be easy to bless them. But let's ask the Lord to help us. Let's ask the Lord to guide us, as Martin's wife encouraged him to do. But let's persevere if those challenges come. You see, your act of blessing may just transform somebody's day. In fact, your act of blessing may just transform somebody's life. And I'd love to pray. I'd love to pray for us that as we go forward from here, we'll be sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. We'll be open to what he wants to do with regard to this. And in a few moments, I'm going to ask the band to play a song that some of you will... We're going to do that one. Yeah. That some of you will recognize. And what I would suggest is don't start singing straight away. Just let the band play, but just consider for a few moments about being a blessing to those around us because of what God has blessed us with. And then in a few moments we can join in with the band. But why don't we bow our heads? I'd love to pray. Father, thank you for the gifts and the talents, the abilities and the resources that you've put into our hands. Lord, we're amazed that you do it. We're honoured that we are your children, that you are a good, good Father and that we are blessed by you. And Lord, we really want to steward those things well. We want to do it in honour to you. Lord, help us to use our time and our energy and our resources wisely so that we may be an increasing source of blessing to those around us. Lord, we ask you that you would guide us by your Spirit. To the people you want us to practically help, strengthen, and encourage. Lord, we ask these things in your precious name. Amen.